Thank you very much, Andy. Enjoyed that. I was telling him the other day that he'll be well ahead of most of us when he gets to heaven, or he'll be able to play the harp right away. Now, last evening, we were thinking of the faithfulness of God as we studied Philippians chapter 4. Tonight, I would like to go into the Old Testament and read with you in 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. The faithfulness of God in a day of spiritual declension. We're reading at verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his own holy word. The name Elijah means Jehovah is my God. This undoubtedly indicates the faith of this man in the living God. In the days of Elijah, Israel had turned away from God. The people had become idolaters. Under Ahab and Jezebel, wickedness abounded. It was a day of great spiritual darkness. But amidst the darkness, there came a bright light. As suddenly Elijah appeared from Gilead. His parentage is unknown. But we must remember that this was a man and not an angel. Let us look at this man then. In verse 1, it says that he that is Elijah stood before the Lord. This would suggest two things to my mind. First of all, his humility, and then his availability. He stood before the Lord as a humble and dependent servant. He stood before the Lord indicating that he was available for any assignment that God might give to him. As we draw near to the Lord, the consciousness of His presence will give to us a sense of His authority over our lives. And we will desire, more than anything else, to be humble before our God and to be available to Him for His service. Now James tells us that Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. He had the same kind of feelings, and he had the same kind of failings. Sometimes faith, and sometimes tears. Sometimes triumphs, and sometimes tears. The Amplified New Testament says concerning him in this passage in James 5 that he was a human being with a nature such as we have, a man of like passions as we are. But then we note, dear friends, that he was a man of prayer. And this was one of the great characteristics of his life and ministry. James tells us that he prayed earnestly, or we might think of it this way, that he prayed in his prayer. There was an intensity in his supplication to God. James' comment here is, the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Then James says, and he prayed again. So this was the practice of prayer in the life of this man of God. I am sure that as believers in Christ, we all recognize and realize the vital importance that prayer has in our life. We know that again and again when we covenant with the Lord that we're going to spend more time in His Word and more time in prayer. There are many things that seem to come crowding into our lives to prevent us carrying out what we know is a right and true desire. The hymn says that Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And it is true that Satan will do everything in his power to prevent that communion with the Lord. Elijah was a man of prayer, and because of this, he was a man of power. When Elisha, his successor, was returning after Elijah had been taken to heaven by the direct route, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll remember that when he took the garments that fell from Elijah and struck the waters, he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" He realized the power that was evident in that man's life, and he knew it was the power of God. Beloved, irrespective of our weaknesses, inadequacies, and insufficiencies, let us remember that the excellency of the power is of God and not of us. Concerning John the Baptist, Luke tells us in Luke 1 verse 17 that John the Baptist came in the spirit and power of Elijah. A man of like passions as we are. A man of prayer. And a man of power. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And we realize that if God is going to bless us as individual believers, if God is going to honor us in our home and family life, if we're going to be effective in our Christian service, prayer is an absolute essential. So we have thought of the man who stood before the Lord. Then let us think of the message. As we note in verse 1, he says, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." Then in verse 2, "The word of the Lord came unto him." This word was, of course, divine in its origin. It did not come from human ideas, theories, or opinions. It came from the Lord himself. And if the Lord has spoken to our hearts and has given us a message, then we can with confidence deliver it. I remember reading of what has often been called the Welsh Revival. Many, many years ago, this took place. And a man who was greatly used of God at that time was Howell Harris. Howell Harris speaks of how he was conscious of divine authority as he spoke the word of God. He believed that the Lord was with him, and he says in his diary, "I felt his authority in the preaching tonight." And there were souls saved. Or, there are a few entries that go like this. "There seemed to be no authority in the service tonight, and there was no evidence of spiritual results." Beloved, I fear again and again that our service can become formal or mechanical, except we get the message from the Lord, then we cannot expect divine blessing. And in those days of the Welsh Revival, this man of God was due to preach in a little Methodist chapel. The time was drawing near for the service to commence. There was no sign of the visiting preacher. So one of the church officers was sent to a nearby house where the preacher had been staying overnight to remind him that the service was shortly to commence. "When you return," he said, "he's there all right. But he's very busy talking to someone, and I didn't want to interrupt him." He was told to go back right away and bring the preacher. But when he returned without the preacher the second time, he said, "He's still speaking to that same person, and I heard him say, 'Except you go with me, carry me not up hence. All right, they said, we'll just wait until he comes. He knew how vital and essential it was to have this message from the Lord. It should be divine in its origin. Then it's direct in its reception. It was not dependent upon human agency or human ability. He was looking to the Lord directly to give him that word at that particular time. And then you will observe that it was definite in its communication. Because this was not a popular message to bring. This was not the kind of sermon that people enjoyed listening to. This message revealed divine discipline and judgment. The people had believed that Baal, their idol, sent rain from heaven, and they had to be shown in no uncertain terms that only the living God in heaven was able to supply rain to the earth. So Elijah came to that godless king Ahab, and he brought to him the message of the God of heaven. We've thought of the man, let us think, and of the message, let us think now of the miracle. In verse 3, the Lord said, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And as we read on, we find that the brook supplied the water that was necessary, and the ravens brought Elijah bread and meat every morning and every evening as commanded by the Lord. Now, of course, we know that to the Jew, the ravens were unclean. They were birds of prey. Job tells us that ravens neglect their young. And Psalm 147:9 informs us that the ravens are fed by God. The word was, go, hide thyself. Elijah, an active and energetic man, was told to go to a place of solitude. And we note his obedience and patience in carrying out the will of God. At this point, his assignment was not to work for God, but to wait for God to act. And he was happy to leave everything to the Lord. My dear friends, again and again, it is much easier for us to work for the Lord than it is to wait upon him. I was talking to a brother just the other day, and he said to me, I find it the hardest thing out to wait upon the Lord. And Peter, you know, as I reminded him, he found that to be true in his case. And he said to the other disciples, I go a-fishing. He wasn't prepared to wait any longer. And they said, we also go with thee. And that night, they caught nothing. They did not wait upon the Lord. And the result was failure. But here, we find that day by day, Elijah put his faith in the living Lord. Water from the brook. And then the ravens came morning and evening. I was very interested some time ago to read the biography of that great man of God of a past day, Dr. Harry Ironside. He tells some interesting experiences in the course of his ministry. He speaks of the time when He had had very little food because the Lord was testing him. And he was finding the lack of food not too helpful as he was preaching. He overheard two sisters talking about him. And he heard one say, "Our brother Ironside doesn't seem to have the same power in his preaching as he used to have." He said, "I felt like telling them, try him out on a beef steak and see what happens." Just after this, he was in Salt Lake City. He was preaching in the open air. He still was feeling that he would enjoy a good meal. And as he was preaching the gospel, suddenly two men came along and thrust something into his hand. He carried on preaching and then, opening his hand, discovered a dollar bill there. Then he realized that these two men must be Mormons. So he thought to himself, "Well, I'm very hungry. I could do with a meal, but I'm certainly not going to take money from Mormons." So he stopped his meeting very abruptly and went after these two men, but they disappeared in the crowd. Then he said, looking at the dollar, he suddenly realized that God used ravens to feed Elijah. So he went and bought himself a good meal, which was possible, of course, in those days for a dollar. God moved in a mysterious way his wonder to perform. But the brook dried up. My dear friends, the powers of nature are limited, but not the God of nature. His power is unlimited. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. The water supply failed because there was no rain. As has often been said, man's extremity is God's opportunity. And so we read in verse 8, "And the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking in Nazareth concerning what happened through God's providence in a past day, he told that congregation that there were many widows in Israel, and yet Elijah was sent to a Gentile. Dr. Lightfoot has said that he believed that Elijah became the first prophet to the Gentiles. This was in a nice, unlikely place to which Elijah was sent. Sidon, the home of that wicked queen Jezebel, and a noted center of idolatry. A most unlikely place to be sent. And then an unlikely person. A destitute and desolate Gentile widow with only a handful of meal and a little oil in a cruse. It is interesting to note Elijah's approach in this situation. Verse 10, he says, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water." And in verse 11, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread." Then as you observe in verse 13, he gives the assurance, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Now why did Elijah do this? It was obvious that the widow recognized his association with the Lord God of heaven, for she uses this kind of terminology in addressing him. My dear friends, I think we should observe that the increase of her faith was as great a miracle as the increase off the meal and the oil. But thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. When Elijah made this rather extraordinary approach and request, he wanted to prove the reality of this woman's trust in God. He had come as the Lord's representative. And so we find that she did not fail in the test. The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now there was never a great abundance. There was just sufficient for every day's supply. As we noted last evening from Philippians chapter 4, Paul had learned, in whatsoever state he was, therewith to be content. Sometimes he had enough and more, but sometimes the supply was very limited. Nevertheless, at all times and under all conditions, he believed that God was able and willing to provide. And so day by day, needs were met. But then another problem arises, and a further test comes. This widow's son became sick and ultimately died. This was surely a great test of faith. Again and again, in our Christian life and experience, our faith in the Lord will be tested. You remember in the case of Abraham, the Lord had to prove it. The Lord did not want to take away Abraham's son Isaac, but he did want to prove the reality of his faith in him. We will discover in our Christian experience that there will be tests. They may be severe tests. Again and again we may wonder why the Lord has allowed such and such a circumstance to happen to us. But God has a purpose in every single experience through which we are called upon to pass in this life. This was the test of faith. But then we see in Elijah's case the trust of faith. He turned to the Lord in believing and earnest prayer. He really depended entirely upon the Lord's intervention. When we are tested and tried, these are the moments when often we are brought closer to the Lord and realize perhaps, as we seldom do at other times, how precious and powerful he is, and how we can trust him wholly and find him wholly true. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thy heart. Now there was that initial trust when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. But beloved, remember that the Christian life is a life of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And note too that it's a walk, indicating that we take step after step, so that each day we are walking by faith, trusting in the Lord. The test of faith, the trust or confidence of faith, and then the triumph of faith. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Here we have the triumph of faith. The Lord answered Elijah's prayer, and life was restored where death had reigned. My dear friends, we can apply this in a spiritual sense to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. We can trust the Lord to bring spiritual life into the fold. And how we rejoice to be able to say again and again, see thy son, thy daughter living. What was the result? Verse 24 says, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. The test of faith, the trust of faith, the triumph of faith. And here this woman has realized the truth of faith. She has seen every evidence of divine power, first of all in providing for the needs of herself and her son, as well as of the prophet Elijah. And now she witnessed the mighty power of God in bringing life where there had been death. My dear friends, the old hymn is right when it says, Elijah's God still lives today. The God of Elijah is the same God in whom we can trust with all our hearts. And if only in the midst of the various tests in life we will trust in him, then he will cause us to triumph and rejoice in his goodness and greatness. And we will see the reality, the truth of a living faith in a living law. How wonderful then this evening to realize God's faithfulness to Elijah. My dear friends, the God who answered Elijah's prayer is the same God who is listening to our prayer. And he will answer in accordance with his good and acceptable and perfect will. Shall we sing as our closing hymn, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. 373. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Savior, Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. 373. Oh, Some years ago, I was talking with a lady who had been passing through a very testing time in her Christian experience, and she had found that some of the people in whom she had put confidence, fellow Christians, had not been faithful. She had expected, and I'll never forget her remark to me. She said, "I suppose I'll just have to trust the Lord now." Well, I said, "My dear sister, have you not been doing that all along?" She said, "Well, you know, we put more confidence often in people than we do really in the Lord." May the Lord help us to trust in Him with all our heart, and not the least upon our own understanding. "In all thy ways," the Word of God says, "acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path." Shall we pray? Our Father, we do thank Thee for this man of God, Elijah, who was able, through testing experiences, to trust completely in Thee. We praise Thee, Lord, for the demonstration of Thy mighty power in Elijah's day. And we thank Thee that Thou art able to do far beyond our greatest expectations in this our day. We think of the physical miracles that took place at that time. And yet, Lord, we praise and magnify Thy holy name for the spiritual miracles that are taking place today. We magnify Thy holy name tonight that Thou art able to provide both temporally and spiritually, in relation to all of our needs. And Lord, we do thank Thee for Thy mighty power to bring life to those who are spiritually dead. We do pray this evening for all who are faithfully presenting the gospel of Thy grace. We thank Thee for the many agencies that are used in reaching men and women and boys and girls with the emancipating evangel of Jesus Christ. We ask that wherever Christ is uplifted as the Savior of sinners, that thou wilt be pleased to command a blessing, even life forevermore. We pray for a coming day in thy will. We ask that as we meet tomorrow morning around the Lord's table, that we may have a worthy remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that in the morning service, thou wilt bless thy work. Wilt thou direct the footsteps of some here tomorrow morning in thy will, who may not yet know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We pray that thou wilt reach them with the word of God and bring them to a saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray for a blessing, Lord, upon the service in respect to all who will be present. Thou knowest personal and family needs. We pray that there may be the consciousness of thy divine presence and the realization of thy blessing. And as we come to the end of the year, as we look back and think of all thy faithfulness, O God, how we praise thee for all the way that the Lord has led us. We thank thee for thy preserving care over us. We thank thee for thy provision for our needs. We praise thee most of all for thy presence with us. For we know how true thy promise is that thou wilt never leave and never forsake those who put their trust in thee. And as we are about to enter a new year, O God, we pray that as we face 1973, that we may do it in the assurance that thou hast promised to be with us, to bless us, and to make us a blessing. We pray that 1973 may be another year in thy will of seeing thy faithfulness and of knowing fruitfulness in our life and service. And so we commend ourselves to thee and to the word of thy grace. Lord, we thank thee for thine unchanging love. We praise thee for thine unceasing care. We thank thee that thou, our God, art faithful, who hath promised. And we know that thou wilt accomplish thy will and thy purpose in each life. So we come with thanksgiving tonight to praise thee for all that thou hast done for us and given to us, to ask that thou wilt bless us in a coming day and in a coming year until that glorious moment when our Lord himself shall come and when we shall be in thy presence where there is fullness of joy. In the worthy and precious name of our ever-living and soon-coming Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you.